Into the final moments, Alex Payne trying to keep this side going forward. Haskell takes it on now with just relentless chat, largely about himself. And there's Tyndall to add the finishing touch of glamour and World Cup winning stories and a slightly sideways nose. That is how you podcast. A dominant display by the good, the bad and the rugby.
Hello everybody and a very warm welcome to the good, the bad and the rugby. As you know, we normally like to take a gentle canter around the course, a bit of a sit down for an hour or so, but things are moving so quickly in the wacky and wild and wonderful world of rugby union that this week we have got a couple of GBR breakdowns for you, getting into the stories that are breaking all around us in the here and now. So first up, we're going to deal with Wales, and then tomorrow we're going to have a little look at wherever England may net out off the back of Eddie Jones' intensive debrief on Monday with the anonymous panel. However, today it's been all around events in Cardiff, and who better to turn to than a man who was the staple for Warren Gatland. As Wales turn back to Gatland, we turn to the one and only Jamie Roberts. Very good of you to join us, particularly at short notice. And first things first, Jamie, give us a little bit of insight. Give us your immediate reaction to the fact that Gatland is back.
I think it's a huge shot in the arm for Welsh rugby. At the end of what's been a very disappointing calendar year, right? So, you know, we've won 3 games from 12. We've lost at home to Italy and Georgia for the first time in our history. And look, it's been a disappointing year. There's no hiding from that. Obviously, the Welsh Rugby Union have acted swiftly and have changed the head coach. I think there was general consensus that there needed to be change. In what capacity, no one was quite sure. But, you know, they've removed Wayne from his position. And that's tough for Wayne to take. And I think 10 months out from, I guess, the culmination of his cycle as a coach. But, and you know, obviously wishing the very best in whatever's next. But in Warren Gatland, they've got a man who knows Welsh rugby like no other. Hugely, you know, decorated coach, understands the Northern Hemisphere game, knows the players, knows the structure, knows the systems. I think certainly in the short term, it's a brilliant acquisition because, you know, Welsh rugby does need that shot in the arm. And in Warren, I hope he can deliver that. Let's not remember, they've gone after a coach with over a 70% win record in the Six Nations when coaching Wales. 60% of Rugby World Cup. You know, I think he's near enough evens when he's played away from home with Wales. He's taken Wales to 2 Rugby World Cup semi-finals and a quarter final in 2015. So, look, he's a hugely decorated coach, knows the game inside out in Wales, and at a point where Wales is probably an all-time low in the, well, one of the, I wouldn't say all-time, but it's at a pretty much a low in the international game at the minute. They've gone after a man and got a man who I hope can bring back some energy back into that Welsh side and some results, more importantly.
What has Warren got, or what does Warren need to do that Wayne Pivac wasn't able to?
I think it's bring a game plan to the team that everyone buys into that is can win Test match rugby. And, you know, when Wayne first came in, you know, there was a lot of chat around Wales wanted to expand their game and have this really fluid attacking game and score more tries. You know, Wales have scored the least tries out of all the top 10 ranked teams in the world this year. And so this notion that, you know, we're going to see Wales shut the ball about a bit more and score more tries was false, really. But that doesn't always win you Test rugby, right? I think this idea that however you play at club level can just transfer to the international level and it wins your game is not true. You know, Test rugby, there's less space. You've got to be, you know, tactics matter a lot in Test rugby. You know, any player who's played at that level will tell you. You can't just chuck the ball around and hope for the best with whatever quality players you've got. You've got to be a bit more shrewd in your tactics. So, you know, Warren gets that, and he gets a Northern Hemisphere game, not just at club level. He's won titles with a club level in England, but he gets it at Test level. He understands what it takes to win, and certainly with the Welsh side as well, who, you know, according to Warren himself, winning success isn't always about winning. It's about punching above your weight. And I think for the Welsh sides that he's coached down the years and inherited, yes, probably had a bit of a golden generation of players who have, you know, come through Wales in the past decade or two. But he helped Wales punch above their weight for a long time. And I do think it's a real shot in the arm for Welsh rugby. Part of me feels like it might be a step back. And I think a lot of the Welsh rugby public might feel that. But sometimes in life, and certainly in sport, you've got to take a step back to maybe take two or three steps forward. And it certainly feels that way with this appointment.
This is very interesting. So just to expand on that a little bit, you're absolutely right. You were a key part of a glorious era for Welsh rugby, and you were alongside some greats of the modern game in that red jumper. What kind of a scenario does Warren come back into now? And I'm looking at the macro around the Wales game at the moment, not just at the international level, the regions, and actually down to the grassroots level as well. What kind of a scenario is he walking back into relative to the one that he left?
Yeah, I mean, the issues are huge in the game in Wales at the minute, none more so than the funding model. It hasn't been agreed with the clubs yet. There's chat around it being verbally agreed this afternoon. Players don't know where they sit moving ahead of next summer. You know, players are out of contract in the summer. There's an embargo on contract negotiations at the minute. I feel desperately sorry for the players who are being put in that position.
Are you talking to any of them at the moment? And can you give us a bit of insight into what the landscape is like as a current Wales international or regional player?
Well, it's hard, mate. Look, I have conversations with players, and it's you know, there are players out of contract who don't know where they're playing. I mean, it's not to put a positive or negative spin on it. That's a brutal situation to be in as a professional rugby player. You know, they have families to support, they have mortgages to pay and bills to pay, as do the rest of us. And not knowing what the future holds is very daunting and can be really unnerving. And it's hard, and it's such a shame that the players have been put in that position. I think it's disgrace, really, that they have been put in that position and are having to go through those emotions. You know, as a main stakeholder in the game, they deserve better than that. And there's, you know, there's a lot of turbulence in the game in Wales at the minute. We talk about the grassroots game, we talk about the governance, obviously the performances of the club sides and the international sides. And so the nous that Warren brings and experience and credibility he brings as a coach, I think his influence can be far greater than on the national side as just a head coach. You know, this guy is Wales's most experienced coach ever, arguably their most successful. I mean, I've talked about his win percentages and what he's done with the national side. So his understanding of the landscape of the game in Wales, you know, is a huge amount of understanding. And so it's important when, you know, those in charge, the decision makers, those in governance at the Welsh Rugby Union, I think he's an important man to listen to when they're making these big decisions about the future of the game in Wales, right? It's a national sport. We have an unbelievable pool of talent of players. You know, the fans, an amazing set of fans at club level and international level. And, you know, the game in Wales deserves, I think, better than what it's been given at the minute.
It's very interesting. Funnily enough, I've tried to do a bit of digging today off the back of the announcement that Gatland is back. And the understanding is that there is an option to take this contract through to 2027. So there's longevity with this appointment. It's not just a stopgap. But the other thing that is quite interesting is that very much Team Wales is the priority, but he's going to have a big say in what's happening with the regions and even all the way down to schoolboy rugby as well. So it feels like this is a man who's coming in to shape what Welsh rugby needs to be doing for the next 5, 10, 15 years, rather than just fix a gap between now and next year's Rugby World Cup. Do you get the sense that he is going to be listened to as you request and as you want, and that he will be given the opportunity to really start driving some of this reform that the game quite so obviously needs?
Yeah, look, I think he has to be. I think that would have been part of his remit in coming back, not just the coach, but to be listened to when it comes to reshaping the game in Wales. Look, I know he's a big believer of school rugby and making sure the processes are in place to produce a conveyor belt of talent in Wales. I think there's a few factors, a few things at play here. You know, we speak about golden generations. We shouldn't have golden generations of players. We should be producing quality players all the time. Sometimes that happens in sport, right? But it's only in hindsight you kind of appreciate that. But also, you know, the caliber of player. You know, I think at the minute in the squad, one of Warren's big decisions come the Six Nations is what to do with it with the older members of his squad. Because, you know, we know, you know, we don't really have to name it, but we will. You know, Alan Jones, Dan Bigger, Lee Halfpenny, you know,
Ken
Alex
Owens.
Cuthbert, Ken Owens. Yeah, there's a lot of older players there. Whether he trusts those lads to deliver for him at Rugby World Cup or give another 5, 6, 7, 8 caps to younger players ready to deliver at Rugby World Cup. So he's got some big decisions to make. Tying into that, the fact that we're still relying on, you know, players in their mid-30s to you know, as the best players in their position in the country, tells you everything you need to know, I think, about the conveyor belt of talent we're producing. You know, obviously rely on these older players. Where are the young guys coming through, taking the jerseys off these older fellas? Have we had a golden generation of players, or is the current system not good enough for producing test quality, you know, British Lions quality internationals in the Welsh schoolboy and club system? So a lot of questions to be answered. And again, I feel Warren, he cares deeply about that pathway, succession planning and making sure we are producing those players. And so, yeah, I hope he has a big say in all those decision-making processes.
Just reflecting on Wayne Pivac, I mean, it's amazing. 20 months ago, he was last player, the last game away from a Grand Slam, and now he's out of a job. How will Wales reflect on the Wayne Pivac era? Was he subject to a pretty horrendous set of, not horrendous, a pretty unforgiving set of circumstances, or did he not make the most of what he was given?
Oh, look, it's tough. Yeah, pro sport, I think certainly at this level, it's a results-driven business, right? It's it can be brutal at times. I think Wales, and do you know what? The frustrating thing for Wayne, I think they played their best attack in rugby in his final game in charge against Australia. I mean, that's irony, isn't it? It's difficult. You know, that first half against Australia, I've not seen Wales play like that under his tenure before. Yeah, they've shown glimpses in attack. And certainly some real steel in defence at times, but not consistently enough for Wales to dine at the top table of world Test rugby. And unfortunately, the results haven't been good enough. I think he's had a pool of players and a group of players that have been good enough. I think he lacked consistency in his selection. And that's one thing Warren, you know, really believes in. You know, once he's made his mind up on players and backs them to do a job for him, he'll give them opportunity in the jersey, whether that's 5 games on a bounce, 10 games on the bounce. He'll back them for a period of time. It felt like there was a lot of chop and change under Wayne. And you know, that didn't help players. That doesn't help players when you're trying to build combinations, either as halfbacks or a back three or as a midfield combo. It just felt like he didn't know his best team. And so when you're going into a World Cup year and there's a lot of chop and change across that team, it's very hard to gel and form good partnerships that are conducive to winning Test rugby. It's not club rugby. You come together for quite a short period of time in Test rugby windows, and you have to have familiarity with those playing alongside you. And it just felt like that wasn't there in the way, in that continuity of selection. So as I said, that's something Warren he'll come in, and I think he'll know his best 15 pretty quickly. And he'll give lads a chance in the jersey in his first campaign in charge.
Interesting. I mean, certainly the feedback around Wayne is a hugely popular character. We will always, anyone who remembers that Wales Six Nations triumph, we will always treasure and remember the curtains, which he so proudly displayed with the trophy. But it does feel like it's just a scenario in which he wasn't able to get things going in the way that he wanted. One question I did want to ask you is, Gatland without Edwards, is that a bit like Batman without Robin?
That's a good question. I'll echo those comments about Wayne. He's a good man, popular guy in the squad, and you know, sport at the highest level can be brutal, right? And obviously, wish him the very best with whatever's next. Gatland without Edwards is a good question, and this is something we'll see unfold in the next few weeks. Will he keep the same coaches underneath him as Wayne had? You know, is he going to make changes? You know, attack coach, forwards coach, kicking coach, defense coach. We all know the people in those positions at the minute. Is he going to make changes there? And no doubt we'll see those announcements over the next few weeks.
Or what are your rumblings and what are your hearings? I only ask because little bits seep out of all of these things, and I'm not sure that it's been everyone on the same page would be what the little rumour mill is saying. Is that similar to you? Or do you think that there is a ready-made team ready to go again under Gatland?
Yeah, like what? It depends who Warren trusts. It depends who Warren really feels is going to deliver a level of coaching he feels that is going to win for Wales and the best for the Welsh national team. Look, I haven't known Warren well, and from personal experience, there's no room for sentiment, right? The guy's all business, and he will make whatever decisions need to be made, as ruthless as they can be, in the best interest of the Welsh national team. He wants to win. And there will be no room for sentiment. It's as straight as that. So, you know, whether that's a new coaching team altogether, or, you know, he'll keep a few, change a few, or, you know, I haven't got a clue. God's honest truth, I have not got a clue you know, what's going to happen with that coaching team underneath him. And, you know, let's be honest, for those, he coaches the coaches as well, right? He's a very experienced coach. It's not just his ideas that he implements on everyone else. He helps develop those coaches at that level as well. So, you know, whether he goes, right, okay, they've had a tough time a bit, I think my game plan and working with these coaches is going to help Wales win, I'm great. Or he might have other ideas and he gets rid of them all and changes his whole coaching team. And, you know, it remains to be seen, mate.
Interesting times. There will be one or two point to the fact that the Lions last year was a very disappointing series, Gatland at the helm, regardless of whether or not, you know, they were within or without his control. I mean, I don't think any of it on or off the field was as he'd have wanted. He had a pretty bumpy time with the Chiefs in New Zealand. I think he lost 9 on the bounce, has sort of moved into a more administrative role rather than a hands-on coaching role. Are you confident that as a coach and as a head man, he will get the best out of this Wales outfit? Or do you think there is a danger that the Gatland 2.0 is not the Gatland that you enjoyed so much success under?
Well, that's the risk he's taking. And you talk about legacy. That's the risk he's taking coming back. And he knows that. There's no doubt he knows that. And the game's changed, mate. The game has changed. The game continually evolves. And I think as a coach, you have to continually evolve to find the right facets of the game that you put emphasis on in order to win, certainly at test level. So, you know, he knows he has to change. But I'll say what I said at the start. He has a win percentage record in the Six Nations of over 70%, which not many can claim. Certainly coaches who have coached in the Six Nations and coached sides for that long. Let's remember he coached Wales for 12 years. You know, he's taken Wales to 2 Rugby World Cup semi-finals and a quarter-final. So he has no doubt allowed that Welsh team to punch above their weight on the world stage. And coach that Welsh team to do so. And going back is a very interesting thing, is it? I spoke earlier about it's like going back to your ex-missus.
I wouldn't know, James. I wouldn't know. I'll let you answer that one.
Okay, I wouldn't know either. But, you know, in the short term, it may be a great fix.
And it's so all, they
and
say.
It's all rosy and it's all great. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're like, okay, we've gone backwards. That's why I said, you know, sometimes to move forward, you do have to take a step back. And it kind of feels like this with Warren. You know, from my perspective, it feels like we're going back to someone who understands the game well in Wales. He's a safe pair of hands with the game in Wales. His win percentage is good, importantly, in the Six Nations and Rugby World Cup, which are the two big tournaments upcoming next for Wales. And a guy who's been there and done it, and a guy who's very familiar, not just with the players, but with the fan base, with all stakeholders in the game in Wales. And it feels... I think a lot of people out there will feel like we are going backwards. But as I said, I think it's a very shrewd move by the Welsh Rugby Union. And certainly it remains to be seen whether he coaches Wales ahead of 2027. You know, that's a decision. That's an option, isn't it, after the first couple of years. But that remains to be seen. Let's not worry about that. As always, and as Warren would always say, it's about your next game at test level. And I just think he has the understanding of the game in Wales and the players to turn things around quickly. Let's not forget, this guy has experience of producing teams quickly, whether that's through the British and Irish Lions or whether that's at test level previously with Wales. You know, having players for a short amount of time and creating an environment where they thrive, and in Wales' case, punch above their weight.
Very, very true. He's got extraordinary bounce factor. Just as a sort of gut feel, do you think, and we're talking about going back, he will reassemble, so to speak, the Expendables, and he will pin the next 10 months on Alan Wynne, Ken, Liam Williams, Dan Bigger, etc., maybe even yourself? I mean, I know you've still got the boots in the potting shed. John Fox too.
Hey, mate, if he pays me a quarter of his salary, I'll consider coming out of retirement.
There's a headline in the Western Mail. But what I was going to say is, do you think he will go to those he knows and says, look, 10 big months, give me everything you've got? Or do you think he will chuck in some of the really exciting new talent and say, right, we got nothing to lose. It's a 10-month sprint. Let's have a lot of fun and go for it.
Well, that's a balance to be struck. And that's Warren's biggest question, I think, leading into the Six Nations. His squad for the Six Nations is going to be a fascinating one, because we all know there's quite a high percentage of players in that Welsh squad who are older, and he needs to work out pretty quick. And he's going to have input from, you know, medical, S&C, etc., all the stats, all the analysts, about whether those players can peak for him at Rugby World Cup. And, you know, he needs to work that out sharpish. And if not, he gives opportunity to younger players and gives them experience. You know, let's remember this is a 10-month lead, and this isn't a 2-year lead into Rugby World Cup. It's not like he's going to get 20, 30 caps under the belt of these players moving into Rugby World Cup. He might pick some new blood in the Six Nations that might only accrue 5 to 8 caps before Rugby World Cup. But he's got to roll the dice on whether, you know, he does pick those older players or younger players. And only he'll know that. I'm sure he'll have conversations with a lot of people. And, you know, it's going to be fascinating, that first selection, no doubt.
He's got brilliant pedigree in that in the past, of course, hasn't he? With the likes of Faletau and North, 2011, came in having played very little rugby. I think Priestland in that same year, only started at 10.
2011, yeah. And you know, Sam was the same as well. You know, he took lads to the Rugby World Cup in 2011 who shone on the world stage with single-figure tests to their name. And so he knows it can be done.
Yeah.
And, you know, he knows he'll assemble a group of coaches, and he knows himself that he can coach lads to deliver at the highest level quickly. And I think that's one of his, you know, certainly one of his strengths and a part on his CV that was critical in the union appointing him as head coach.
The atmosphere at the Principality as he leads Wales out for a warm-up ahead of that first return fixture is going to be quite something. They'll have to polish the Gatland gates ahead of the return.
Yeah, no doubt. Against Andy Farrell as well, and against, you know, a guy he knows very well. You know, Ireland at home, first up in the Six Nations. Expect a few grenades in the press conference, mate.
He'll be rolling them in like bowling balls. The more things Correct. Change, the more they stay the same. Do you think that the success will come? Are you a believer that the change is going to have the desired results, or is there still too much unknown below him for this to be a banker?
Well, let's remember, it's the same group of players, right? There will be, you know, a handful maybe come and go during the previous year and the year moving ahead. So I guess the question is, can he produce a game plan that brings the best out of these players and have them believe that they can attack and defend and kick the ball really, really well to win Test rugby games? And look, we had a game plan under Warren. It was pretty simple. It was direct, but it was efficient. Our teams knew what were coming, but stopping it was another you know, ball game altogether.
Are you talking about yourself, or are you just talking about the overall game?
No, I'm talking
game?
About the team, the side I played in. You know, it was a well-oiled machine, wasn't it? It was a, you know, you felt like a cog in the machine. Everyone understood everyone's role, and it was a real well-oiled machine and game plan. And so his skill is instilling that in this team in a short space of time. And that might be simple.
Yeah.
But it's been effective in the past. And I think he has the tools at his disposal, i.e. the players. I think he has the players to do well at Test level. No doubt. They did so under Wayne Pivak, but not consistently enough.
I saw a brilliant tweet off the back of England's victory in Pakistan talking about Bazball, and someone else comparing the great redeemer, the return of the Gap Father, as Wazball 2.0. I mean, I'd love to see how he's going to pull that together, and we will watch with great interest. Can I ask you just very quickly a couple of quick questions? Because obviously it's not just Wales that are in the head coach headlines at the moment. England, more dangerous with Eddie Jones, or more dangerous if they make a change?
Yeah, look, it's probably a bit like Wales. I think that was the biggest question mark facing the WIU, is the risk here of changing things so close to the Rugby World Cup. They shouldn't be afraid of change. Look, Eddie Jones is obviously a hugely respected coach. He's a brilliant rugby mind, but you could argue he's not getting the best out of the tools at his disposal. So is that a campaign issue for November? Is it a lingering issue that they feel they can improve over the next 10 months? I'm not too sure, but change is always good in sport. You know, I think it is the only constant in our profession and what we do. So whatever decision they make, I think is the right one. And I know that's probably sitting on the fence, but, you know, if they back him. The thing is with him, I think it's blown my mind how much staff has come and gone underneath him. And I'm not quite sure why. I think we probably understand why. Mm. Maybe struggle to work in his environment, etc. But there's just been not that level of consistency of coaches underneath him. And let's remember, those are the guys that are delivering to the players week in, week out. So, yeah, I think maybe if he does stay, there has to be an agreement that, well, whoever coaches underneath him has to remain in place up until Rugby World Cup. Or if not, he goes and someone else comes in as head coach, and let's see where England go from there.
The extraordinary thing about recording this is by the time you finish your sentence, he's probably come, gone, two new people have been in and out. It's
exactly,
just like,
yeah.
We can't get a handle on anything right now.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting to catch up with you. And I love your optimism. I think we need a bit of that around the sport at the moment. I hope that those around your part of the world will share in that. Just very quickly, we're hoping to catch up. You've got testimonial year at the moment. Give us a plug. What's in the diary, and where can people get involved?
Friday night before Wales England, mate. Cardiff Elms Park.
I'll be quiet.
We've got a few English lads. I think Hugo and Shawsey are popping up. You know, Shane, Adam Jones, Tom Shanklin, few around. Big sexy Gethin Jones is hosting it. So James Dean Bradfield's doing a little stint on the guitar, which should be good fun. So yeah, get in touch if you're keen to come, and then hopefully someone in London later in May. Alex, which you're going to host for me, mate. Thanks.
If you say so, I'll get your people to talk to my people. Very, very nice to catch up. Thank you for swinging by. We'll do one of these in a bit more detail, hopefully before too long. But really nice to catch up, Jamie. Thank you for your thoughts. Hold on tight for all that's to come over the next few weeks.
Sweet, mate. The roller coaster that is Welsh rugby continues. Happy days.
Pay your money and enjoy it. All the best. Catch you soon. Thanks,
cheers,
dude.
Cheers, bro. Ta-da. Ta-da.
Good stuff. The Gat is back. The Gat father. Wales against Ireland. Round one of the Six Nations suddenly has... Well, it's got very flambé, hasn't it? We will watch and wait with interest to see what Warren does as he returns to hopefully pull Wales out of the frying pan and stick them back in the fire. A lot of noise, a lot of headlines and a lot of words are going to be said between now and February. Of course, lots going on with England at the moment. We'll be back tomorrow to debrief on wherever they net out over the course of the next 24 hours or so. In the meantime, if you'd like to buy some GBNR merch, we're not going anywhere. Do feel free to check out goodbadrugby.com. But this has been a short, sharp and quite enjoyable GBR breakdown. Perhaps we'll do more of these as the stories continue to come thick and fast. We will see you tomorrow for another quick hit out, but until then, thank you, Jamie, and look after yourselves in the meantime.
You've been listening to The Good, Yay, The Bad, and The Rugby, Oof, with Alex Payne, James Haskell, and Mike Tyndall. Thanks for listening.